This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson, and it is a Tuesday. That means we had Mike Tomlin talk today for the first time in Chiefs week. And, well, before we even get close to that, the other shoe has dropped on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Before we even get to that, okay. I want to pull the curtain back. We're in this brand new fun studio. I mean, I'm a little out of my comfort zone.
It's brand new. I don't know if it's fun yet.
Fun, not yet. I'm a little.
I feel a little constricted in
here. It's a little tight. I don't know where things are at, but we're going to adapt and overcome.
We kind of changed things up here just to pull the curtain back completely.
Oh, yeah. You got to let everyone know what's going on.
At the old studio, you were to my right.
Yeah, that is a little weird.
We need to switch the seats up tomorrow.
Okay.
I feel strange looking to my left. It's like we're a married couple.
We're sleeping
on the wrong side of the bed.
Okay. Because we walked in here, and I thought it was a monumental conversation to have. I'm like, what seat do you want for eternity?
Yeah.
And you grabbed that one. And
I didn't think anything of it.
My logic was, I'm going to be close to the door. I'm in and out. So we might need to rethink that.
We might.
We are on the wrong side of the bed.
I am often like maybe a mafia member or old gunfighter where I never want to have my back to the door.
Oh, they're getting me first if they come in here. Right. I'm a bigger target, too.
So, but yeah. I feel strange looking to my left at you.
Okay. We're going to have to think about this.
It's outside my comfort zone.
The other thing, too, and I noticed this for Jacob on the way in, I'm more of an obstacle for him to get in and around me coming through that door, too.
You're a little bit bigger obstacle than me as well.
And I like to kind of spread out and get wide and take up a lot of space, gap a little bit.
If there's a fire, Jacob may be trapped in here.
Oh, he's in trouble, yeah. And plus, he darts in and out from time to time to take care of things.
That,
right,
yeah.
And it could be an obstacle.
He is a darter.
So we need to think about this. This is a big decision. Because this is for eternity.
This is, yeah.
Well, today's a test run, but we might have to switch it up.
We might have to switch it up after this segment.
Yeah. And look at this. I'm bouncing around in my seat. It doesn't squeak. People talk about my squeaky seat all the time. Doesn't squeak.
You should be able to stay close to the mic.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the mics are much nicer. It's clean in here. So we'll see.
But that'll change.
That'll change in the next 5 minutes or whenever Wolf comes in.
But Tyreek Hill. Now placed on the COVID-19 list for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Amongst others, but he's the big name.
Well, obviously, Travis Kelce already on there from yesterday. Matt, you threw out the stat today. They account for exactly 50% of the targets.
Yeah, for the whole team.
For the whole team.
Right.
But 54% of the actual production.
It's amazing. I mean, they deserve it. They're amazing. But there's two sides to that is – you know, drafting Hardman, trading for signing Sammy Watkins, flirting with Juju in the offseason, they realize that they need a third guy in a bad way. And even using a first-round pick on Clyde Edwards-Helaire recently because of his receiving skills, you know, they are too dependent on Hill and Kelce. It's not a bad problem to have.
They're as good as they get at their position. It's certainly better than depending on, Laquon Treadwell and
and James O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
A little different.
But, you know, the Vikings were sort of this way, too. They had the Thielen, Jefferson just eating up targets and then everybody else.
It was that way when they had before that as well.
Right. So right now, correct me if I'm wrong, Kelce went on yesterday. I can't remember if we reported that on the air or not.
I think we did.
It was during the fantasy segment, actually.
It happened during this.
Yeah.
During the show.
And now Tyreek. And that doesn't mean they're going to miss for sure. But then there's some other names that aren't as big names. But
Tre'Davious Ward's a big one.
He's important.
He's
their number one corner, right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal. So who knows what we're going to see.
Yeah, and the other part of the equation is, you know, the Chiefs were having guys test positive last week. Leading into their game against the Chargers.
Is that why Chris Jones missed?
That's why Chris Jones missed.
Yeah, it was an injury. Okay. Right.
And so they're still having guys test positive, which means
they have a long week, too.
They weren't together all weekend.
Right, exactly.
No,
so this is a little worrisome if you're Kansas City.
The other issue with this that I raised to you is this. With the new testing procedures now in place by the NFL, they're not just automatically testing guys if they've been vaccinated.
Right.
They test guys who are unvaccinated every day. That's mm-hmm. that hasn't changed. They randomly test vaccinated players.
Okay.
I don't know how many but it's probably like they probably pick out 5 to 10 per day. Yeah. The only other way that you test positive or get go onto the list then is if you were having symptoms.
The only other way you get tested because is if you get symptoms.
Because
right.
you now
self-reported symptoms.
Yeah, if you're having symptoms, what they're supposed to do is it was explained to me was technically the training staff is supposed to have somebody at the door before they enter the facility.
Okay, they get out of their car, they walk to the door, and they're
asking the player,
there.
"Are you having any of these symptoms?"
Okay,
and if
so
you
kind
are,
of like a checklist.
Yeah,
okay.
If you are, then they send you to be tested.
Okay. Yeah, I got sniffles. Boom.
You're getting tested.
Go get tested. Yeah. Okay. And maybe you're on the random list anyway.
Right.
Okay. So.
Because what they don't want to happen is somebody who's having symptoms walking into the building. I know.
That's what you want to avoid.
When Ben Roethlisberger self-reported a few weeks ago, there was automatically some people, well, why would he do that? Well, you don't want to get everybody in your team sick.
There's nothing to gain by
this
that,
is what
right.
happens when somebody doesn't self-report. All of a sudden, now you've got somebody in the building. And this new variant, the Omicron variant, while being less deadly, less mm-hmm. Virulent, and that's not the right word for this, but it's less troublesome than the previous variants. You don't get as sick,
mm-hmm.
but it's easier to spread.
That's easier to spread, apparently, right?
So
right.
You know you don't want this spreading through your building, so don't go in the building if you're having symptoms.
Yeah, it's not because they want a day off.
Right.
You know, I'm self-reported. I got
sick today.
I'm not going to go in. Right.
So, you know.
So this is what we know as fact then. So Kelce, Hill, and the others are either unvaccinated, had symptoms, or less chance, one of the random tests.
Or one of the random tests, but they still tested positive.
Yes. Right.
With asymptomatic, though. But so if you're asymptomatic and you test positive,
you have a better chance to get back.
You have a better chance to get back quickly.
If you're one of those random, which is a less chance that they could be one of the randoms, but not necessarily.
Right.
I mean, there's a slim chance that that's the case. So chances are all these cases, not all, but a higher percentage of the cases are either non-vaccinated players or ones with symptoms.
Yes. You know, that's the higher probability.
Higher percentage of chance. Okay. Which means there's a less chance that they'll get done. You know, back on the field soon.
Correct.
You know, right.
That is correct. So, I mean, this is true. In fact, I saw something that somebody said, well, Kelce is vaccinated.
Okay.
Okay.
So he's got the sniffles. Or
he's either had
one of those.
Either had symptoms or he was a random test. And, mm-hmm. you know, so.
And he was a day earlier. So he has a much better chance than Hill to get on. Of course, even 24 hours means a lot.
But, man, if they're missing either of those guys, let alone both of them.
Either. I mean, just talking defending the Chiefs. Everyone always talks about, too high safety. You know, they've played against cover two for years.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about that strategy stuff as the season goes on or as the week goes on, I'm sure. But to me, the best way to defend the Chiefs is keep Mahomes in the pocket and then double Tyreek.
Yeah.
You know, all respect to Kelce. He's amazing. He might even be the most productive tight end in the history of the world.
How about this stat?
That's cool.
Mike Tomlin today threw this one out. This is a Mike Tomlin stat.
I didn't know that. I didn't know this was coming.
Kelce has 580 yards after the catch this season.
Doesn't surprise me,
580 yards.
It's more than most tight ends.
Most tight ends don't have 580 receiving yards.
And I would bet that's down from previous years.
He's a problem when he gets running in the open field. Like
they're great at devising it. Mahomes hits him in stride and on time. He shrugs off a safety or something. And
next thing you know, he's
strides,
rumbling, stumbling,
out.
Bumbling. Yeah,
absolutely.
580, though.
That's as good as we've ever seen after the catch, really, position.
The only other thing I get, like Mike Ditka, when you watch the old Mike Ditka highlights, where he's running through guys and shaking guys.
Four people are hanging on him. I mean, even like Gronk was awesome after the catch. And really, his average depth of target and yards per reception are amazing.
Right.
And he's 270 pounds.
Right.
But even him, it wasn't like big strides separating from people.
Yeah.
You know, Kittle
that's the
has
thing.
A little
yeah.
of that. But
yeah.
right.
That's what Tomlin called him. He said, you know, what you can call him a tight end, call him whatever. He's a number one receiver.
He's a number one receiver, right. I mean, he's not the blocker Gronk or Kittle is. That's why I wouldn't have him over Kittle as a football player. But as a weapon, he's as good as we've ever seen.
He might
this league.
Be the best receiving tight end of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, this year aside, his five-year numbers coming into this year are unprecedented for tight ends. And now he isn't dipped at all.
580 yards after the catch, for a tight end.
Right, and we got three games to play.
That's wide receiver stuff. I mean,
yeah,
that's,
he's going to be at 700 or something when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that's what your number one wide, you know, the star wide receivers get that much after yak.
Oh, yeah, right. So let's say he keeps up his average and he ends up with 700 yards after the catch, give or take, which is incredible. That's more than...
There'll be several teams this year that won't have... Their leading receiver won't have that many receiving yards.
What I was going to say is that's a starting fantasy tight end in itself.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? 700 yards for your tight end.
In fact, last night's game...
Is a productive dude.
The game between the Browns and Raiders, which we'll touch on here in a bit, the leading receiver in that game that was active, the leading wide receiver, had 23 catches.
Wow.
Donovan Peoples-Jones led both teams with 23 catches.
But didn't Renfro play?
I guess he did. I don't know where they came out of that with that then.
Maybe they're talking about the Browns
eyes. They must have been talking about the Browns wide receivers themselves.
And I'm trying to think, did I see Renfro last night or not?
Because he only had three catches in that game.
Okay.
He played, but he didn't play
because
much.
Because they didn't have Ruggs and Waller. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, but I guess besides Renfro, no one else had more than 23 catches for the season.
For the season.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, I mean, so those, if either of those two guys is not available.
Oh, it's a massive.
Let alone Ward, again, their number one cornerback. Mm-hmm. Butker, their place kicker. And they're still placing guys on the list.
Yeah, we keep seeing names. Yeah, I mean, I put Butker right there with Boz as the second best kicker in the last few years.
Yeah.
And he's got a huge leg. Really long levers. He kills the ball. I mean, he's like that golfer that just drives it 350 every time. You know,
and at
I mean?
This point in the season, like, you're getting somebody else's, like, retread.
That, yeah, absolutely. And that's not an easy building to kick in as well.
Right.
And, you know, he's an important
although I think
guy.
The weather's supposed to be great today.
I've heard that, too.
I heard 70 degrees on Sunday.
That's cool. Yeah.
70
Merry
degrees
Christmas. Yeah.
In December that? In Kansas City.
Yeah, it never happens. I mean, wind might be an issue. Who knows? But
yeah.
Still, that sounds pretty
the other
nice.
guys put on were Rashad Fenton, another cornerback.
Yeah.
And tight end Blake Bell.
He's kind of an interesting player, too.
They do some Wildcat stuff with him. Yeah.
Because he was a quarterback at Oklahoma, turned tight end, kind of a Logan Thomas wannabe type guy. And even last week they did something interesting with him is they motioned him as a second tight end with Mahomes and shotgun and short yardage, and he just lined up right under center like a traditional tight end and got the first down. You know, they're real creative with those guys.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. And you wonder, since they're having – again, seven guys, I think, now placed on the list the last 2 days.
For now.
Do they go into intensive protocols?
And don't practice.
And then they don't get the practice and, you know, all that stuff.
And what that means is they will not gather live at all.
Everything will be virtual.
Okay, everything will be virtual. And that's what the Browns went through and, you know.
I think you're seeing, the Rams went through it, the Browns went through it, Washington
had played tonight, Okay.
In fact, there were a bunch of teams last week that were in that intensive protocols because they were having a major outbreak in their building.
Wow. I mean, that's frankly, it's great for the Steelers. I mean, it gives them a much better chance of winning the football game if their best players aren't there or if they can't practice. The Chiefs can withstand it. I mean, if they stub their toe this week, and we'll talk AFC playoff picture, I'm sure, at some point, they're still in pretty darn good shape. They can afford a loss, not in the division, but – man, that's you just hate seeing it though.
Yeah,
you want your best
guys
out.
It's just not ideal. You saw it in the game last night. I mean, I kind of expect to see similar kind of things in tonight's games.
Yeah,
where
it's a tough
it's tough to watch. I texted you at one point during those games yesterday. I'm like, as tough as the Steelers game was to watch on Sunday, those two games yesterday might have been worse.
They might have been worse. I mean, this week in general was not the NFL's finest moment of, you know, highest level of play.
I saw something where somebody said there were like six quarterbacks who had QBR ratings. And I don't understand a QBR rating.
But still, it's an indicator.
They had QBRs of less than 15. 15 or less. Like, it
which
was
is horrible.
Bad. We did the fantasy segment.
Mm-hmm.
One 300-yard passer this week.
Yep. I mean, like, even Washington tonight. They're without, like, the majority of their coaching staff. Like, are they going to have problems getting plays in and getting the right personnel out there?
Starting Garrett Gilbert at quarterback.
And a third-string quarterback. Yeah. I mean, brutal.
Yeah. What that loss by the Cleveland Browns did.
Boy, it's as big a loss as I can remember, you know, for this year, really.
They're in a world of hurt now.
They're in a world of hurting.
Now they have to play Green Bay on a short week.
Right. So that was their reward for bumping things back opposed to 8 days to congratulations. Prepare for going to Green Bay. Now you have six, you know, tremendous.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, that didn't watch a game or in prefaces, now with that loss, the Browns are 500. They're last in the division.
Yes.
If they won,
they would have been first.
They would have been first in the
division. That's how close
the
division
is. That is. Right.
And I kind of feel like the entire division, I wrote about this today, or last night actually, after the game, is kind of limping to the finish line.
Oh, yeah. It really is.
I know everybody in Pittsburgh is focused on what's going on with the Steelers and how they've, you know, they've kind of stumbled here.
I think everyone wants to talk about it. They're terrible. They're not a playoff team.
2-3-1 in their last six. Well, the Bengals are 3-4 in their last seven.
Are they?
The Ravens are.
They're on a three-game losing streak.
They're on three. So they've won three of their last eight, I believe. Now.
Okay.
And the Browns now have lost two in a row, and they are.
And they're in last place.
Yeah, they've fallen. They were 3-1 at one point. Remember too.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I was talking about this on today's podcast. Now I think there's four teams in the AFC. That are all 500, that are Browns, Miami, who's the opposite. They just win every week. Denver, Raiders. All those teams are 7-7. And to me, all those teams have to win out.
You have no margin. It's done.
It's done now.
Your margin for error is gone.
Right. There's a grave dug for all them. They're not. They might have a foot in it, but they're not done yet. They all have to win out to be in the conversation.
And good luck doing that in Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers, who isn't going to test positive this week for
right,
COVID.
Right, right.
Because he had it like 3 weeks or, you know, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 weeks ago.
And I know the Raiders and Denver play each other, so, you know, one of those is going to be knocked out immediately. Miami actually could win their last three. The last one's against New England.
I think they played well, though.
But I don't think they're that type of team. Yeah. I mean, it's a good story.
Are they going to win 10 in a row?
They going to win 10 in a row to win the season?
Yeah,
I don't think so either, but their three games are the easiest of those four.
And quite frankly, again, that doesn't factor into the AFC North.
No. Right.
Like, that factors into the Steelers' path to the playoffs.
Is winning the division.
Mm-hmm. And it's there to win.
I think you want to root against the Bengals more than anything.
That was a big win for them in Denver last week.
They control their fate. I think they're the best team at the moment.
They got to play. Here's the thing,
it's not
though.
Easy for them either.
They play the Ravens this week.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar's supposed to be back.
Right.
Joe Mixon going to be questionable for that game
right.
with an ankle injury. If he doesn't play, that's significant for them.
I think Burrow threw the ball like 22 times against Denver, too.
Right.
Like, I don't think they're worried about him, but I think the protection –
They are worried about that.
Yeah, the whole Jamar Chase versus Penei Sewell conversation is starting to, not that they should have taken Sewell, but it's starting to show up that this line
isn't
that great.
Well, they had some linemen who lost the right tackle, Riley Reiff. He's on injured reserve now.
Right. That's a real injury.
That's a real injury.
Thing, right.
They were missing a couple of interior linemen for that mm-hmm. game.
And they can't afford it.
They can't. No, they just can't. So they were trying to protect him as much as possible.
But without Mixon,
you just
bombs away Burrow, and he's going to get hit a lot.
Yep, he's going to
no fault of his
probably going to throw some interceptions.
Right. Yeah. And the Ravens aren't easy to play against schematically, and they'll come after him. I mean, they might have a lot of success picking on those corners, but it's not a gimme. It's not a layup.
It's certainly not. So what and even at that, after they play that game, they got to play Kansas City.
Right, and I'm sure Kelsey and Hill will be over.
They'll be fine by then.
Chris Jones will be
like, everybody's going to be back by then.
Yes. Do we know Chris Jones plays this week against the Steelers?
I looked at the window when he went on. His 10th day, if he's non-vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
his 10th day would be Saturday.
Okay. So we'll
get there's a good chance that he plays.
I would be shocked if he doesn't.
Yeah.
Because they played, you know, that was a long week.
Depending on his symptoms. If he's...
Assuming all these past all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, right. We always assume these things, but it doesn't mean.
Yeah, you just assume, he's going to be fine.
Right.
It doesn't mean he's not having.
He could be sniffling and coughing as we speak.
Yeah, he could be in the hospital right now.
Right.
I mean, that's all
so
part of this.
Little information on these things.
Because,
but that's
a
huge deal.
It does affect the big guys differently.
True. Yeah, I heard parts, you know, we were sitting in the other room and you were listening to Tomlin's press conference and he was really talking up Chris Jones.
It's
kind of a Jeffrey Simmons, straw that serves it, and that's exactly what he is. I mean, that would be a big deal. He was really missed, I thought, in their Charger game.
Here's one thing I wrote about him a little bit today. He's been productive this year when you look at the overall numbers.
Mm-hmm.
He's got six sacks this year, but five, I'm sorry. Seven. He's got seven sacks this year.
That sounds about right.
Five of them have come in two games. Five and a half of them have come in two
games.
Have
they?
If he had two against Cleveland in the opener.
Okay.
He had three and a half against Dallas.
One thing I want to talk about there is, well, first of all, he's a less consistent than Cam Hayward.
Motor doesn't run all the time.
I mean, he's an up and down guy. I know people around here always want to talk about, oh, Steelers gave away Ingram. He's tearing it up for the Chiefs. Really, the only thing to me that Ingram gave them is now a better ability to put Jones.
Put him where he's supposed to be.
Where he's supposed to be at his three technique spot, as opposed to playing defensive end in a 4-3, which he's capable of, but it's not getting the most out of the player.
He can be Calais Campbell, like, you know, that kind of stuff.
I mean, you've seen guys do that over the years, Namakong Su and you know, Haynesworth and
but
some of that.
But the stats for Jones aren't all that different.
I can imagine that.
From one spot to the other. He was productive.
He's more impactful in the middle.
He was equally productive wherever they played him at because you know, that's just him. But the thing that changed, I know people look at, well, they're on a 7-game winning streak and they traded for Melvin Ingram 6 games ago. They stopped turning the football over like
that's
crazy.
Where I was gonna
go to. They had 19 turnovers in their first 8 games.
Yes. Really, their season shouldn't be broke up of when they traded Ingram for Ingram and after. That's small potatoes.
It's from the Titans' loss on.
It's the first seven games and the next 7 games.
Yeah.
And these last 7 games, they haven't lost. Their turnovers are remarkably different in between. One thing that isn't – the defense is remarkably different in the second 7 as opposed to the first 7. But the offense, everyone thinks the offense is fixed. The last 7 really aren't any different than the first 7 if you take the two Raiders game.
They just didn't turn the ball over.
They didn't turn the ball over. And the two Raiders game, they lit the world on fire.
Yeah.
But the other ones haven't been any different.
The thing that their defense started getting turnovers.
Yes, absolutely.
And again, that's largely because if you look at those first
– they were the worst turnover differential in the league after 7 games.
They didn't turn the ball over against the Browns. They won that one.
Mm-hmm.
The next week, they lose to the Ravens. They turned it over twice. They lost to the Chargers. They turned it over 4 times.
Yeah.
They beat the Eagles. They only turned it over once. They lost to the Bills. They turned it over 4 times. They beat Washington, but they turned it over 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
They then lost to the Titans and turned it over 3 times.
Yeah.
Since then,
right.
They've had 2 turnovers against the Giants. The Giants were
that was a
20-17 game because they're turning the football over. Since then, they've had 6 turnovers. And, you know, now all of a sudden you're putting points on the board because you're not turning the football over because you're going to move the football with that offense.
Oh, yeah. And there's some more reasons even why. First off, I think Mahomes was a little loose with the football and not playing particularly well. Defenses were throwing some more things up at them as well. They had some bad luck. Some of their turnovers were tip balls. They had a lot of drops.
The fumble against the Ravens.
Yeah, the fumble against the Ravens. Their fumbles the first 7 games. They had a very low percentage that they actually recovered, where now it's about average. You know, so they had some bad luck.
Things
too.
Equal out.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I had something so smart to say, and I can't even remember what the heck it was. It'll dawn on me at some point this week.
But their defense then started forcing turnovers.
That's the other thing.
It completely flip-flopped for them.
100%. Yeah. I mean, they were really bad in turnover differential.
They forced multiple turnovers in each of their last 6 games.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're going to win those games.
Look at the Steelers. I mean,
yeah,
they didn't play
same
well.
Thing.
You're right.
I mean, same
it's
thing.
It's a huge aspect of this particular matchup, without question.
Yeah, got to take care of the football.
Here's what I was going to say, too. I love Mahomes. I think he's a transcendent player. I mean, we're so lucky to watch this guy's career. But I will say, before this season, he was a massive risk taker of the football. He was bound to come back to the mean a little. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
He's not going to stay at that level that no one's ever seen of just throwing the ball in tiny windows and not getting the ball picked off.
Yeah, I mean, the only guy who's ever done that consistently has really been Aaron Rodgers.
Ben Rodgers, right.
Yeah.
I mean, even like Favre takes chances like those guys, but he had a lot of picks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just who these guys are.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Chiefs and who they get back, who they don't get back. Do the Steelers have any people?
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, this is a nationwide thing at this point.
Certainly, you know, league-wide.
Every day you're looking, I think there were 30-plus players across the league put on the list yesterday. I haven't seen the total number for today, but it's going to affect things.
Oh, it already is.
You know, right. And we're going to see 2 games tonight because of it.
Yeah, and, hey, I mean, you kind of feel for the Browns. I know no one around here feels for the Browns, but There's a huge difference. They win that game versus not, and you can't tell me they didn't have a better chance of winning if they wouldn't have got hit so hard by COVID.
Yeah, that's all part of it.
It's all part of it.
The Steelers had their season affected by it last year.
Just went on a minute ago.
There you go.
You know, it's just happening left and right.
Yeah, so it's going to happen, and you just hope that it doesn't happen to your team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that you can really do anything to mitigate that. To make it easy, right? Guys are going home. They're going home to their families.
It's a virus. We have a higher percentage of vaccinated players than most.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. When we return, well, there's no power rankings this week, but Matt and I are going to power rank the AFC since the AFC done for this week. We'll look at that right after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Tuesday, we typically take a look at Dan Hanses' power rankings on NFL.com. But because there are games tonight, there's no power rankings.
No power rankings till tomorrow. Yeah. Maybe we could do it tomorrow.
Perhaps.
How do you like this idea? This is how I do my power ranks.
Okay.
As I break them into subsets. Instead of just looking at 32 teams, I go division by division, and I power rank that division. And then whenever I'm going to do my power ranks, I pick one off the top. You know what I'm saying?
I do, but we're just looking at the AFC.
I know, but don't mess with my process.
Well, you could do yours that way.
I'm
going to look at this, and I've got the standings here in front of me. The standings, to me, though, don't mean diddly poo.
No, right. Like the Falcons are decent in the standings, and they would not be high on the NFC.
Well, the Titans right now are the 3 seed in the AFC playoffs.
Okay.
Like,
here's the other approach.
If there were 6 more games left in the season,
yeah, right.
The Titans might not make the playoffs.
Exactly. flatter me with this, too.
Okay.
I know it's only 16, not 32, Dale. But it's easiest for me to do power ranks to start at the top, start at the bottom, and then be stuck with like three or four teams in the middle. Because there's it's the tops and bottoms are easy. The middle's hard.
The middle is always hard. And the middle in the AFC is, well, ridiculously hard.
Yeah. But the bottom's easy. If you knock them out, you start going 16 down, and then you start from 15 or 1 down. Then in the middle, you figure it out.
You're getting crazy. Crazy talk.
That's the way it works, man.
Well, we'll start at the bottom.
You do whatever makes you happy.
We'll start at the bottom. I always do.
Okay. Who's the worst team in the AFC?
It's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
They've lost twice now. The Texans have three wins, and two of them came against...
Houston handled them.
Twice.
Yeah. I mean, just now. I mean, yeah. Again, okay, I'm making rules left and right, but you're not abiding any of them. I'm going to look at power rank as strictly how good are you playing right now.
Right now.
If we were to line up against you on Sunday, how much do I fear you compared to 15 other teams? Not you got all these wins and... You set records back in week two. I don't care about that stuff.
Jacksonville is clearly the worst team.
They're last. Yes.
Who's
I think the Jets are 15.
Who's 15? You think?
Yeah. Houston's shown signs of life.
The Jets were competitive with the Dolphins on Sunday.
They were, and they caused some turnovers that helped as well.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm not so sure that Tennessee shouldn't be down there right now.
Oh, they're going to be low for me, too. I mean, I think they're a pretty bad team right now.
I mean, I'm not sure that the Raiders don't belong down there.
Not Jets.
Maybe not
Texans
that low.
Texans low, but yeah. I mean, I think this becomes a conversation at 13. I mean, the bottom three are really bad. So who's 15 for you? Is it the Texans or Jets? See, a big factor to me is Mills is getting better.
Right.
Wilson's not getting better at all. Statistically, the Jets are the easiest defense in the league to play against, too. Start all your guys against the Jets for fantasy. I think Houston's defense is okay.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to put Houston over the Jets.
Houston's had some bad games of late, but
they're not good.
But they've had some competitive games.
Yes. And this isn't what we're talking about, but like for the world of draft, it doesn't hurt them to win a game or two to me. There's not this transcendent player. It might be more valuable to get some wins and beat Jacksonville and show them you're better than that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And let the Jaguars figure out who should be number one.
Yeah, whoever they like better.
Actually, they still won't have it because Detroit's still in that spot.
They're still number one even after winning? Yeah.
They have two wins. They got two wins now. Actually,
two and a half.
Yeah, Jacksonville is in the top spot again. Back-to-back number one overalls.
Boy, what a miserable franchise.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we get the three bottom beaters. To me, they're on their own tier. Draw a line. Who's next worst? See, I'm sitting here scanning the divisions as if I broke them down by each.
How are we doing this? Are we doing this as the teams were constituted on this week, as what they put on the field this week?
Yeah, with the asterisks of, I would still count like Tyreek Hill and Kelsey as Chiefs.
I mean, they still may play this week. I'm talking about,
but I'm not counting Henry.
Right.
I mean, you can't play or is out. So I think it comes down to the Browns. To me, are the worst team in the North.
Yes.
I don't think Miami's this bad.
No.
Or anyone else in the East. I think the Titans are in the conversation.
Raiders, Broncos?
Raiders are worse than the Broncos for me.
Now that Drew Locke's a quarterback for Denver.
Yeah, I guess we have to count that part. So it's a four-team race.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a difference.
It makes a big difference. But I'm going to say Baker is the Browns quarterback.
Okay. He wasn't this past week.
Yeah, but we're talking about right now. I mean, I think he's coming back. I mean, I'm not going to... If what's his face from last night is the third string quarterback or is the quarterback, then they're
but
last.
You also then have to factor in that Myles Garrett limped off the field and then he returned, but he wasn't. He should not have played.
There's something going on.
And they lost Tack McKinley in that game. He's done for the year.
He's done. All the injuries have to factor into the equation. I think the Titans are the worst.
I think they're pretty bad.
I take that back.
Well, they'll get A.J. Brown back this week.
Right. I think the Raiders are the worst.
I think the Raiders are pretty bad, too.
I mean, they really could have lost to a massive
team you had no business losing to.
Right. I mean, shell of the Browns. Let's put the Raiders as the next worst.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I'm on board with that.
Like, I think Denver beats the Raiders consistently right now.
Yes.
Denver has
They've
a
shown a lot of heart.
And they can run the ball no matter who the quarterback is.
Yeah.
They might be the best of that group to me. Like, I think Denver's better than Tennessee right now.
I think if Denver played Cleveland right now, Denver, I'd pick.
You'd pick the Broncos. I probably would, too. Yeah. I'd probably go Broncos, Browns, or Titans, Raiders in that order for that tier.
Okay.
So that is seven teams out of the – that leaves us with nine.
Now, do we start at the top?
That's what I would do.
Yeah, let's go. Let's flip to the top.
Who's the best team in the AFC?
Right now, as we sit here
– I'm going to say Kelce and Hill count as Chiefs, though, not as
– Right, okay. I honestly think right now the team that's playing the best football in the AFC is the Indianapolis Colts.
I was going to say the Chiefs followed by the Colts. I mean, I think those are the two –
I think the Colts will be a real problem –
I think they're a real problem for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's not how the Chiefs are constructed, is to play a physical, beat-you-up type of game. The one thing that worries me a little about the Colts is Michael Pittman and Kyle Duggar get in a fight in that game. And Pittman's not great, but they both get ejected.
He's all they got.
He's all he got.
Yeah.
You know, like, all of a sudden, Patriots start coming back. The running game for the Colts isn't quite as good. Put an extra guy in the box. But Pittman's part of the team. It's just they're a little fragile in the passing game.
I get it. You know? I get it.
The Chiefs have issues too, though. I mean, the Chiefs are not the old Chiefs, in my opinion. I'm cool with the Colts one if you can give me the Chiefs at two.
I think those are clearly the top two teams in the AFC.
Okay, let's put them in their own tier too, then.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got Colts, Chiefs. That leaves us seven teams to sort out.
Who's the third best team in the AFC right now?
No one from the North.
No.
I think the Patriots are better than all the North teams.
Are they better than the Chargers? Are they better than the Bills?
I think so.
We're going to see. We'll find out this week if they're better than the Bills again. They were better than the Bills
a couple weeks ago. That game doesn't count to me because the weather's too extreme. I mean, that's an outlier game, in my opinion, just because that's not a strong enough resume builder that you broke off a long run in a terrible situation and had that leg up, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think they're better than the Bills. I think they're more consistent than the Bills. They would be my three.
Okay.
So four.
Four.
Do we agree the Bills are better than the Dolphins?
Yes.
Okay.
They smoked them twice.
Yeah. I think that's not an even an argument. So
see, that's some, you know, if you look at the Dolphins' quote unquote win streak that they put together.
No, it's bad.
Their only win against a team that was even considered a quality team at the time that they played was over over Baltimore.
Yeah,
the rest of it's been
garbage.
Who's
an overrated team too?
Yeah,
you know, right.
who was playing above their head at that point?
Right.
If you look at their schedule, what they've done,
they're way better than they were at the beginning of the year when they were a bottom five power rank type of team.
They beat the Patriots in here's their schedule. They beat the Patriots in week one, 17-16. Mac Jones, first game.
Rookie quarterback, right.
Lost to the Bills the next week, 35-0.
Mm-hmm.
35-0.
Crushed.
Lost to the Raiders, 31-28. Lost to the Colts, 27-17. Lost to the Buccaneers, 45-17. Lost to the Jaguars, 23-20.
Right. So it wasn't all just good teams beating them at the time.
Lost to the Falcons, 30-28.
Not so good.
Got smoked again by the Bills, 26-11.
Mm-hmm.
Then they beat the Texans 17-9. Ooh.
And then it started to get good, right?
Yeah, then they beat the Ravens 22-20. They beat the Jets 24-17. They beat the Panthers 33-10. They beat the Giants. They beat the Jets again, and now they get the Saints this week.
Mm-hmm.
Are they good or not? I have no idea.
I guess I don't think they're up for this spot in the power ranks, but they're not the super hot team that's going to
that
win
everybody,
10
like,
in a row.
You,
and
you listen to the
Super Bowl.
I get it. Well, their schedule is remaining is at Saints. Which will be a problem for them this week.
That's going to be an interesting game. I mean, I haven't looked at any spreads. I bet that's about a pick 'em game.
It's in New Orleans, so that'll
be tough defense.
Then another game.
I'm taking the under in that game.
Yeah, back on the road again to the Titans.
Which A.J. Brown will be back.
A.J. Brown, you know, will be back for that. Yeah. Maybe they bring Derrick Henry back at that point. They're talking about week 18 for him. I don't know if they want to wait that long.
Then they get the Pats.
And then they get the Patriots at home.
Yeah, and we talked about it last segment. I mean, they need to win out to be in to get in the playoffs or have any chance.
Right.
They might. I mean, maybe New England rests their guys, you know, if the
But I don't even know if winning out would get them in.
It doesn't necessarily.
Because they lose a tiebreaker to the Bills. Mm-hmm. If they split with the Patriots, they would still lose the tiebreaker because mm-hmm. the Patriots had the better division record.
They're not dishing out any losses to people that they need to lose.
Right.
I mean, that's just
they
to
lose
them in
to
the
Colts. They lose the tiebreaker to the Colts. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't win many tiebreakers.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, anyway, we have Colts 1, Chiefs 2. We don't have a 3.
I think you can say New England is 3.
Oh, yeah, we did have 3. We don't have a 4.
Are the Chargers 4? Are the Bills 4? I think it's the Bills.
I think it's a Bills-Bengals-Chargers conversation.
I think the Bills have more quality wins this year.
I would rank those 3 Bills-Chargers-Bengals.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have the top 6.
And the bottom 7.
So that leaves us
with the 3 in the middle.
Steelers, Ravens, Miami.
Right.
That's it.
Steelers, Ravens, Miami.
The middle's always the hardest. It's just always the hardest. But at least you narrow it down doing it this way.
Yeah.
Who do we really need to?
Right now, I would that's tough.
It's really tough.
I mean, we just saw the Steelers beat the Ravens a couple of weeks ago with Lamar.
Let's say Lamar's in the equation.
But they also had Marlon Humphrey for that game.
He's out of the equation.
Right. Is Calais Campbell?
It wasn't like Huntley was bad.
Is Calais Campbell going to be back at any time soon?
And their corners aren't. Their O-line's bad.
They lost Tavon Young in that game the other day, too.
Right. The Steelers are the healthiest. Or maybe Miami is.
Yeah.
I think I'd go Miami Steelers Ravens.
I might go Steelers Miami Ravens.
Okay, so we agree on Ravens are last. They're in a bad spot. I don't think they're winning a game.
I don't know if they win another game.
Right.
I think the Steelers need them to win a game this week. They don't need it to happen.
That would be
helpful. Because Kansas City's probably going to beat Cincinnati in 2 weeks.
Probably.
So realistically, you don't need the Ravens to win this week.
Mm-mm. And I don't think they will.
You just need the Bengals to lose one of their final.
You really want them to lose 2.
Actually, you need them to lose 2, so. Yeah, I mean,
that would certainly be helpful.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, you're right. Did you say Miami's the best of the 3?
I said Miami's 2nd. I can't look at any of those wins that they got other than that one over Baltimore and say, oh, that was a good win.
I know. Yeah, I know.
They beat a bunch of garbage.
They're hot right now. I mean, you win that many games in a row, you have to respect it, but it's not a good streak.
And, you know, the folks out there screaming at the radio, well, the Steelers' offensive line makes them the worst. You haven't seen Miami's offensive line play.
It's the worst in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel very confident saying that's the 32nd ranked defense or O-line. I'm not sure the Ravens' O-lines were better than the Steelers either.
There's that.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the Ravens' offense is better than the Steelers' offense with Lamar.
With Lamar.
Yeah.
But I get when the two teams play, I'll take the Steelers' defense.
As the best unit on the field.
Shutting that unit down because
right.
I've just seen it too much.
I mean, the thing the Steelers have going for them in this conversation is health. I mean,
right. They've finally gotten.
Right. I mean, knock on wood. I mean, we're not having this conversation of does Lamar count? Does this guy count? The defense is in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
That carries a lot of weight in this battle.
It certainly does.
I can live with them 1. I think we agree the Ravens are 3rd.
Yeah.
Miami versus Steelers. Yeah, I can live with the Steelers there.
It's a toss up.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, Tua is playing better, but. Really RPO-ish and finesse-ish, you know, but that's
if they they played the Steelers right now, would they run for 200 yards?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, Duke Johnson had a nice game against the terrible Jets, but that's kind of fluky too.
Yeah, I mean, the teams that will give the Steelers trouble are the teams that have a great running back.
Yes, they don't.
They don't.
They have as bad a stable as there is in the league.
It goes back to what I said yesterday, okay, the Titans had 200 rushing yards in that game on Sunday, mm-hmm. but did they really hurt the Steelers with the running game?
Right.
They scored 13 points.
If it was Henry, they would have had
If Henry, he might have had 300 himself.
Right.
But they didn't have him.
Right.
You know?
It's the Henry versus Cook situation.
It's the same reason why you give them a puncher's chance against the Chiefs, because the Chiefs won't run the football.
Right. The Chiefs actually aren't a bad matchup for the Steelers right now. I mean, they're a bad matchup for everyone because they're good.
Because they got Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
But they're not a bad matchup because of what the Steelers are doing poorly right now.
You'd rather probably play the Chiefs than the Colts if you're the Steelers.
Right.
Colts would be a problem.
The Colts would be a big problem. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
The Patriots would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, the Colts would be the ultimate problem. That's like Tennessee with Henry problem.
Yeah.
You know, that's bad.
Because they're just going to pound you. They're just going to keep running it and running it and running.
Everyone
although I'll say this.
Coming.
The way the Patriots have played run defense of late.
I'd say it's not so great.
The Steelers could run the ball on them, too.
Yeah, Steelers are – Patriots are actually better versus the pass and passing the football than people realize.
Yeah.
You know,
they can't stop the run.
They can't stop the run particularly well, which is a problem for them, too.
Which is amazing because they spent a bunch of money on those big dudes up front.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. And what will be really interesting in the AFC, teams will start to get eliminated. You know, the Browns, Raiders – Broncos, Dolphins. Once they lose another, we're not going to talk about them for the playoffs anymore. But it's really going to be interesting of who plays who. You know, like, styles are going to make fights in the AFC playoffs.
Absolutely.
In a big, big way. You know, so I think that's really interesting to me is how that lines up of who do you get to play. Those power ranks weren't easy, though.
No, I mean, it's a little harder than what you think. Mm-hmm. And looking ahead at Week 16's schedule here, on who plays who, to your point. San Francisco's at Tennessee. Tennessee's going to
They're going to lose that game. That's a tough team to play in a short week right now.
Cleveland at Green Bay.
They're going to lose that game.
Indy's at Arizona.
I don't know what to make of the
The Cardinals are in a spot right now. But that's a night game in Arizona.
It wouldn't shock me if Arizona blew their doors off and everything we thought we knew about the Colts was not flushed on the toilet but questioned.
That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore's at Cincinnati. We already talked about that one. That's a tough spot.
It is a tough spot. I think Baltimore's really in a bind.
Yeah. The Chargers.
Baltimore and Tennessee are really lucky that they put a lot of money in the bank early in the season.
Right.
Because they're not in good spots at all right now.
How about this one? Chargers at Vikings.
Wow.
They're like the same team.
They are. I mean, I haven't looked at lines or matchups.
Ekeler on the COVID list. Bosa's not playing because he's unvaccinated.
Lindsley's out.
Lindsley's out. Yeah. That's a problem in that game.
I bet the Vikes are favored right now.
I bet they are too. Buffalo at New England, another huge AFC game.
Huge game.
I mean, these are massive games. Then you get Jacksonville, New York.
Good. You want them playing each other.
You don't even have to watch that one.
The beauty is those teams aren't playing teams that the Steelers are fighting for.
That's the Rams I hate this two LA teams.
Oh, the okay.
The Chargers are actually at Houston.
Houston. Oh, yeah.
That's right. I knew that.
They're going to win that game.
They're going to win that one. Pittsburgh at Kansas City.
Maybe
Denver.
I was keeping the Chargers defense around for something. Yeah. That was it.
Denver's at Las Vegas in an elimination
game.
That's
a loser leave town match. Yeah. You're right.
And then Miami's at New Orleans on Monday night.
I probably will take the Dolphins in that game, but that's going to be a 10-9 game.
All day long.
That's the one thing we didn't mention when we were power ranking the teams. I think Miami's defense is really good. I have questions about the O and the running game and the O-line. I think that's a good D.
I think it is too, but...
They rush the passer. They play man. They're hard to play against.
Are you going to rush Taysom Hill because...
Oh, yeah.
They're just going to run the football.
Yeah, that matchup, I don't know that it matters.
Yeah.
You know, your number one corner is not going to follow anybody, you know... It's just going to be a.
They're going to be standing out there in the island by themselves.
Yeah, and they're not going to throw.
Waving hello.
Yeah. Right. I just think that's a low scoring defensive battle.
I'll tell you what. New Orleans is one of the tougher places to play in the league because
that's a Monday night too, right?
Yeah, they pipe noise in.
Oh, and
they may not admit it, but I mean, that place is loud.
The folks get pretty lubed up pregame too for a Monday night game. That's a really tough place to play.
Yeah, I mean, they blare the music in between snaps, and you know, it's just.
Yeah,
my hearing. There have been a couple places over the years where my hearing has been tested,
and my ears
have been ringing for days afterwards. And one was in Indy when they were in fact pumping noise in, and then the other time was in New Orleans when you're sitting up top in the press box and the speakers are right there and they're blaring music between every snap, like right up to like 10. I think they have to shut it off
at a certain time. Yeah,
but they would push that at times.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. Yeah. That's a very young Miami team. It's a young quarterback. It's a reasonably new head coach. A lot of draft picks. They haven't done these things yet.
Yeah.
No, though they definitely could lose that game. I just don't see
them winning 10 in a row.
No, I don't either. I think that would be crazy.
And again, that one doesn't even factor into me for the Steelers.
No, but if they lose, this is one less team to talk about.
True.
You know,
true.
You'd love to see them just disappear.
Yeah. Can't you just go away?
Yeah, go away. I think teams will start to go away this week.
This could be the week where you start to see some. They won't technically go away because at 7-8, you'll still technically be in it.
But the Raiders.
You won't be eliminated, but you're going to be eliminated.
One of those teams is done. Right?
Cleveland's getting eliminated this weekend.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
that game last night buried the Browns.
Yeah.
And when you look back, that's the turning point.
I mean,
if he misses that field goal at the end, Browns are really in a good spot.
Yeah.
But he didn't, and now they're
not. Now they're not.
It really is that different. Or that fine line.
You mentioned it. They went from being if he misses the field goal, they're in first place.
Mm-hmm.
If he makes it, they're in last place. That's how close the AFC North is right now.
Right. I mean, all the tiebreakers hurt you and all that type of thing, too. And really, you know, it hurt them to bump that game back. You know, if you could tell me we would have lost by 40 on Saturday as opposed by losing by one or two yesterday.
And now you got a short week going to Green Bay.
I get to prepare that much longer for Green Bay and get healthier. Okay. You know, now Myles Garrett's limping around. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you got problems.
Because those guys had to play every snap. Garrett's coming out of the injury, the blue injury tent, back out onto the field.
Right. Because he has to save
the
season.
Because he has to. Yeah.
Right, save the season. Absolutely. Yeah. They're in a bad spot. I mean, even. No relief for Chubb, and you know the linemen maybe not shouldn't have been playing. I mean, yeah, I think them and the Ravens are really in trouble.
I think I've said for weeks now that the Ravens are in trouble, and you know it's proving coming to fruition here. So honestly, it comes down to Steelers versus Bengals. The Bengals got the tiebreaker there, but guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Tiebreaker's not going to matter.
Not going to matter with the tie,
unless somehow along the way here the Bengals. Tie somebody,
right? That would really throw.
Then
that,
then now you right. now like that sweep comes into play.
So Steeler fans, more than anything, of course, you want the Steelers to win. I think you're rooting against the Bengals.
Yeah, that's what you should be doing.
Straight. I mean, that's the number two priority after rooting for the Steelers to win.
And I don't want to hear this. Well, I don't want them to get into the playoffs because that's going to hurt their draft position, and they're not going to do anything anyways. The idea when you start the season,
I hate that,
argument. Is to get into the playoffs.
The only time I'd even think about that way, and I don't think that way, is if it's a difference between getting Trevor Lawrence
right.
or being eliminated in the first round of the draft. And, folks, that's like 22 picks difference. That's like 8 wins difference.
Yeah.
That's not like, should we try to go for 2 here and we're either going to get Lawrence or go to the playoffs.
Right.
You know, like that's a massive situation where you're probably riddled with injuries. And the season shot by midseason. Okay, let's put Rudolph in, see what we got. Not tank, but maybe not give ourselves the best chance to win. That's the only time that even comes into play. And there's not even close to that quarterback in this draft. Period.
Nowhere near.
There's no one Lawrence or Luck here to get.
And this is
there's
a deep,
LeBron.
Yeah, this is a deep draft. It's not necessarily
it's
top
not even
heavy.
Top heavy to begin with.
Right.
Like, who would you pick if you had the third pick in the draft? You're not getting the third pick in the draft.
Right.
You know, like. Go to the playoffs. Establish a culture. Win games.
That's the thing.
See what happens.
You know, with this, it's a young football team. You know, if you can get into the playoffs.
All those rookies are going to get a playoff
game. Get that experience.
Right.
Maybe you win one.
Who the heck knows?
Because,
bounce.
I mean, look at who you've beaten this season. You've beaten – could you – you know, if the Bills lose – this week,
yeah,
maybe get a shot at the Bills in the first round of the playoffs. That's not a bad matchup,
right?
Or, maybe you know,
I mean, you don't want to win this way, but maybe your first round opponent's riddled with COVID and you just roll over them.
And you get, you know,
I mean?
You get
like,
a
you
playoff win,
right?
You know, you get that argument too. Well, the Steelers only 3 playoff wins in the last decade have been over such and such quarterbacks. I don't care.
That doesn't matter.
Did you win a playoff game? Okay.
Right. Are we going to go over every Brady playoff victory and be like, that one doesn't count?
That
enough.
Doesn't count.
That one's not good
yeah.
enough. You know, come on.
No, you said, how many Super Bowls you win?
Right.
Yeah. So
no.
It's all relative. You want to get into the playoffs. You want that experience.
No.
You know, you want that moving forward. This is, again, a young roster that maybe won't have that veteran quarterback next year leading the way to lean on in a playoff type atmosphere. So you want to get that experience now. That's one of the reasons why you brought Ben Roethlisberger back is to season your team a little bit more.
I mean, I probably some of our listeners don't remember this, but this isn't the Penguins bringing up a goalie who couldn't stop anything to help get Lemieux. You know, like that's not the situation here, folks.
Yeah.
You know,
Andrew Luck's not in this draft.
No, right.
You know? And you wouldn't be in this position to get him anyways. But we're going to take another break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. When we come back, it's time for the Fantasy Football Focus. We will do that right after this.